Our reading today is from Samuel 1, chapter 17, verses 20 to 37. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out, as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was walking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defense, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the man, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here, and with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "I can't even speak." He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul said, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." This is the word of the Lord.
Now, all of you who've shared about being brave, were you scared? Hands up if you did whatever that was and you weren't scared. Because that's the definition of brave, isn't it? You're not brave if you do something that doesn't scare you. Me, standing here, isn't brave. It doesn't scare me anymore. Most of you don't scare me anymore. Some of you, that's why I said most. I'm just going to step this way a little bit. I'm out of range. Those books hurt when they hit you. But for some of you standing up, for some of you standing here to lead to do the reading or to lead prayers or even just to share something would be really scary. It's not brave if you're not scared. Courage is doing something even when you're scared. I can't believe that little David, I mean, when David was anointed by Samuel went through all of David's big brothers first. Hands up if you're the youngest in your family. Hands up if you were always compared to the older siblings. Hands up if you still need therapy for that. Yeah? Samuel went, "Oh, surely this one must be the Lord." You know, he took this big guy, big muscles, abs, six pack, not a keg. Bronzed, hard, fighting man. And Samuel's like, "Surely this one's the man." And God's like, "Nope." And they work their way down the family line. And eventually Samuel says, "Well, it's not any of them. Are there any others?" And they said, well, there's this weedy little kid that looks after the sheep because he's not good for anything else. I'll go and get him. That's David. He's despised even by his family. In the reading today, he goes to the battle. He's taking food for his brothers who've gone to fight. And David gets sent to take provisions, to take a pack up for his big brothers. How many of you had to do errands for your big brothers and sisters? Yeah. So have we got any older brothers or sisters here? You want to put your hand up if you're an older brother or sister? That's fine. We've got a confession coming later. David goes and he says, what's going on? What's this big guy making fun of you all? Well, you know, little brothers and sisters occasionally, just occasionally, can be a little forward in what they say and do, a little bit. I believe some people refer to it as annoying. And David's like, who's this big guy making fun of you all? And his brother's like, shut up. And David's like, what? Can't I even talk? I mean, it sounds so much like a teenager. What? Can't I even talk? So he goes and finds someone else to whinge to. And David's like, but it's not that big. It's not that big. I do wonder whether he was still saying he's not that big when he stood in front of him. And he's going, he's a bit bigger over here, isn't he? But how was David able to be brave? David was brave because he knew that God fought the battles for him. Number of times I visit a family, perhaps a really sad time when someone's gone, and are talking about what happened in their childhood, and they said, oh, she was always the one they called when there was trouble, or he was always the one they called when there was trouble, and he'd stand up for all the others. And it's that person that will stand out and say, no, I'm going to take you on. I'm going to fight. Well, David knew that God was like that person. God won the fights for David. You can hear it. The Bible later on, despite all of David's faults and failings, and he did some pretty horrific stuff. You know, murder, adultery, quite a lot of stuff that you wouldn't consider to be, you know, on the list of things that a man of God ought to do. He was described in the New Testament as a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he knew that God would fight for him when he needed it, not when he wanted God to fight for him. God's not going to go and sort out the next door neighbors for you, sadly. God's not going to go and sort out that annoying family member who makes your life hell. That's not the way that God works. But God will fight for you. There are times and situations in your life when you think, I just want to speak out. I just want to say what this person is like. I just want to shout about this situation. And the number of times that's happened to me, and sometimes I have spoken out and I've got it wrong, and other times I've listened to the voice of God, and God has said, shush, I will sort this out for you. And there have been times when I have kept my mouth shut and I have kept my lip buttoned. I know that might come as a shock to some of you, but it does happen. And God has sorted a situation in a way I wouldn't have got right. And things that have been wrong have been uncovered. People that have done things wrong have been exposed. And I haven't had to fight that battle because God has fought it for me. Walking up a steep hill in the Lake District, God, I need you to get me to the top of this hill because there's no way these legs are going to get up there without you doing something about it. That's brave. Sorry to point you out again, Susan, but I am just in awe of what you've done. I think it's amazing. Knowing that God is with you and that God is for you means that you can march up to a giant and say, my God's bigger than you are. So are there battles you need to fight? Are there things you need to confront? Are there things in our society and you think, there's no way I can make a difference to that? I'll leave you all to fill in whatever's going on in your heads at this moment in time. There's plenty. Are you thinking, I can't affect that? I'm just Bill or Frieda or Mark from Woodlands. You know? Maybe you can't. But maybe God can. So what are the battles that you're facing at present? What are the things that you're frightened of? Where do you need the courage to say, God, will you fight this battle with me? Will you fight this battle for me? Are you going to be brave enough to trust God to fight the battle? Do we actually trust God? The baptism creed that we use. Do you believe and trust in God the Father who made the world? And we respond, I believe and trust in him. Do we actually trust God? Do we trust God with our lives? Do we trust God with our wallets? Do we trust God with our families? Do we trust God with our wives and our husbands? Do we trust God with our children and our grandchildren? Do we trust God to lead us in right paths for his name's sake? David did, because he wrote those words. Do we trust God to fight those battles? Or are we like the whole of the rest of the Israel army going, he's a bit big. I'm not going. You going? No, I'm not going. You going? No, I'm not going. And then a little boy comes along and says, yeah, I could take him. Like, shut up. Are you going to be brave like David, knowing that God wins every battle? Sometimes it might not look like victory. Because bad stuff happens. Because this world is broken and old and hurting. But we'll give God a chance to win the battle in here and in here and out there. I'm going to give you just 30 seconds to think about what you need to be brave about in the coming days and weeks. I'm not going to ask you to share that with anybody, because I know how personal some of that is to so many of you. What do you need to be brave about? That might be something to do with family. Yay, pitch invasions. It might be something to do with family. It might be something to do with what you're facing at work. It might be a decision about changing career. It might be a decision about moving. It might be something else entirely. It might be a decision about your health. What do you need to be brave? Well, listen to David. My God will win the battle. So just a moment of quiet while you think about that, and then we'll pray together. Father, we're sorry when we aren't brave. We're sorry when we don't trust you to fight for us. We're sorry when we let the armies ranged against us beat us into submission. We're sorry when we shut up people who are saying, we can do this. Father, would you forgive us when we haven't trusted you to fight those battles? Like David, would you give us confidence and courage and hope? Would you make us brave like David, as we know that you will fight these battles with us and for us? Amen. Just one last thing I want to say is, how did David know that God would beat Goliath? Because he'd practiced. He practiced against wolves and lions. He be worked up. So it may be that the battles you're facing now are God getting you in training. How much training did you do, Susan? Lots. You can't just go out and do a David. Ask God to train you up.